This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
Vroeger jaar het dit is so rondom die 15e, 16e januari, het ek dieselfde psalm bedien as wat ek nou gaan bedien. So daarom gaan ek dit nie lank bedien nie, julle kan luister daarna online. En ek het als bedien oor 'n jaar van hoe wandel mens in onsekerheid in met confidence. En dis precies waar oor hierdie psalm gaan. Hierdie psalm 16 is a psalm, a miktan, a teaching by David of how do we go when everything seems uncertain, when there's anxiety and fear, when there is real danger, how do you continue confidently? And it's amazing. I'm going to read the psalm quickly and just bring it down to the word, because this is when we prayed for Marita in the beginning of the year. This is the word that was preached just before she went into a first big operations. This is what the Lord said. So David starts the psalm with a cry, saying, "Preserve me, O God, because in you I take refuge." He's in anxiety. He's afraid. He's afraid for his life. We don't know whether it's because he's fleeing Absalom and because he's fleeing King Saul, or maybe it's just because he one of the battles that he led in another time. But David is really, really afraid. Afraid for his life. And he starts by praying to God, and the word he uses for God there is the word El. "I'm crying out to you, mighty God, because I don't have what it takes. I don't have what it takes. I'm afraid. I'm really very much afraid." And he is crying and he's saying, "God, I'm crying to you and I'm taking a refuge in you." And the rest of the psalm is a teaching. If you've ever felt like this, and it's amazing, I'm looking at a few people in the congregation in the years, it's 10 months since we prayed this and said this, but much has happened. And it's amazing the privilege of walking with people, for you the same, with knowing the stories of the people around you. When you walk into a time of real uncertainty and when there is much fear, this is what David is praying about. So if that agrees with you, if you've ever felt like this, and see what David did. And Marita's story is the story. David starts with a few confessions. The first confession that he does is he says, "I say to the Lord, you are my Lord." In English, doesn't translate well because it's the same word. But David just prayed and cried out to El, the big creator, almighty God, the God who created everything. This is his name for his creator, the God who creates, the almighty God. But now he turns and he says, "I say to Yahweh, the covenant God of Israel, the God who has a covenant with me and with his people, the God who has bound himself to me and to his people." And he's saying, "I'm speaking to this God, the covenant God, the one who bound myself and my forefathers and my nation. My purpose is bound in him. My life is bound in his purpose. He is mine." But then he does something specifically, and he says, "I say to Yahweh that you are my Adonai." And he's saying something beautiful. He's saying, "God, I'm saying that you are my Lord, my master, my owner. I'm saying that I am here and I'm repositioning myself. God, I'm really very afraid of the future. The situation is too big for me." And then he does something beautiful. He says, "I'm saying to Yahweh, I'm here to serve you. Your life is my life. I'm reminding myself that you made me king of Israel. You put me in this position. I am in the peril because of your purpose with my life. So I'm entrusting myself to serve you. God, I know that I'm really afraid. God, I'm not going to run away. I'm not all of a sudden going to turn my back on you. God, I'm saying that I'm saying the same thing I always said. I position myself to serve you. I'm yours. I am your bondservant." He's not saying I'm your employer. No, you are my. He's not saying that. He's saying, "God, I position myself to serve you because this is too big for me. I will stay put. I'm reminded that my life is yours. I'm reminding you, God, that I'm here to serve you. And your responsibility is to take care of me, your bondservant." Same thing that Paul does in every one of his letters. Saying, as for this, and then he says something beautiful. He's saying, "I have no good apart from you." It's a verskriklike mooi gebed. I've prayed this prayer so many times. It's so beautiful just to say, to remind myself, but to remind God as well, that you are my greatest delight. You know, what is an idol? An idol is something that gives you pleasure and power. All the idols in the past. Something that gives you pleasure and power. So you will serve it so you can have pleasure and power. So all the Baal gods, all the Asherah poles, that's why it's so often associated with sexual perversion and things like that. But he's saying, God, you are the only one that owns me, and you're the only one that gives me pleasure. Apart from you, I have no good. And then he prays this beautiful second confession is, as for the saints in the land, they are the excellent ones, the noble ones, in whom is all my delight. He's saying, God, and this is really necessary, this is a man who is very much afraid. His life is in danger. And he's in his prayer, he reminds me that I am God's and God is mine and I've chosen to serve him. And then he does not do what Elijah did. He says, God, I am not alone and I will not isolate myself. I know that I am among God's people. I'm one of God's people. I am one of many. And then he says something beautiful. God, all the saints in the land, they are the noble ones in whom is all my delight, God. These are the ones, God, that truly excellent ones. David is saying that these are the people that are the most privileged in all the world because they have access to you, God. They are not alone. Ephesians 2 verse 13, Paul prays, he says, to the Greek people who became Christians, believers, he's saying, once you were far removed from God, once you were not a people, once you had no access, but now, and once you were far removed from God and without any hope in this world, but now he says, but now you have been brought near by the blood of Jesus to God, your hope. And David just does that in his prayer. He says, God, I know that I'm among all of God's people and I have the greatest privilege. So yes, I am very much afraid, but God, I'm associating myself with your people, and I know that we have the greatest of the privilege in this world. And then Yahweh is my Lord, my greatest delight. I'm among God's people. Third confession that he makes, he says, the sorrows of those who run after idols, Psalm 15 and 115, and so many of the Psalms unpacks this one. But the sorrows of those who run after idols shall multiply. Their drink offerings and blood offerings I will not pour out or take their names on the lip. He's saying, God, I will not trust in any other means to get me out of the situation. I'm trusting on you, in you. I will not start denying God or start rethinking my philosophy, my religion. It's amazing, as a pastor through the years, we've seen people going through tough times. And those are the times that you start doubting your faith or God's character. It's always like that, you know. It's like, why? Because things aren't working out as it is. And David is exactly in such a point. But David prays and he says, God, I'm going to say this thing. I will not seek pleasure or power in another place. That's crazy, God. You are the true God. I do not want what the wicked has. I don't want to live like they live. I don't want to use their means of getting me that. I'm trusting in you, God. You've shown yourself faithful in the past. I'm going to trust you again. And then David moves over to the most beautiful. He has his cry, his confessions. And this is the bulk of the situation. David says, his contemplation, this is the real teaching part. The Lord is my chosen portion and my cup. You hold my lot. David is really much afraid. And then he says, I remember the treasure that I have in God, his faithfulness, his care, those moments that I had among the sheep, Goliath, Saul. I remember all those miracles that God has done for in the past. And he says, I will hold on to that. I will remember that. God is so good. You are my chosen portion. God, you are the one that I love. He quotes that from Abraham. The Lord said to Abraham, I am your portion. And he's saying, God, you are my greatest inheritance. And then he says something beautiful next. He says, and you are my cup. You hold my lot. And he has a picture. He pictures his life as wine or as water. That is, it's really valuable, but it's fluid. He can't keep it together. And he says, God, my life is held together in the cup of your hand. You hold my lot, God. God, I'm really in peril at the moment. My life is vulnerable again. But God, you are the one who keep me together. You hold me, God. You preserve my life. if you let go, I'm done. That's the same language that Paul uses in Philippians and in Ephesians, where Timothy says, my life is being poured out like a cup, a drink offering unto God. But he's saying, God, you hold me together. I'm precious. I'm really vulnerable, but you keep me together, God. And then you hold my lot. You keep me. The lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. I've said this so many times in the past few years. In the past, I would pray this prayer and think, God, I have the most amazing parents. I had the most amazing opportunities in my life in the Air Force and in my education. I have the most amazing wife. I have the most amazing children. I don't have difficult children. We have great children. We have easy children. No, we cannot trade. I will not trade with you. You know, I would pray to God and say, God, look at all the things that I have. Look at my friends, God. Look at the wealth that I have. But this is not what David does here. He doesn't say my lines have fallen in pleasant places because of all the things that I have or the people that I have. David says, no, God, I have you. And that is the greatest inheritance that I have. That is the greatest gift that I have, God. You are the one. You are the most precious gift that I have. And David is really much afraid. I'm going to say this at every one of the lines because this is the context. He's saying, God, my life is really in trouble. And I'm not going to go back to my military strength or to all my wisdom or my kingly status or anything. God, I'm banking on you. You are my treasure. You are my greatest reward. My lines have fallen in pleasant places. I have a beautiful, some translation, a bountiful, a big inheritance. You are mine. I bless the Lord who gives me counsel. In the night also my heart instructs me. Beautiful bit. David always does this. If you know his Psalms, he says a lot, in the night I meditate on you. So that's a line that he uses in many of his psalms. So David is saying, I am also safe, not just because I have God or access to God or because God holds my life together. I'm also safe because God is the one who counsels and guides me through this difficult situation that is ahead. I'm not going in alone. I'm not going in unadvised. But God is the one who advises me and leads me in this. And don't forget this one. In the night, my heart also instructs me. It's a moye, and I can't spend time on it now because I want to give time to Marita. But David's saying that my passion directs my life, counsels me. It brings me back. The fact that, Lord, you have caught my affections. You've caught my heart. I love you, God. That also instructs me that I shouldn't run away or be afraid because my heart reminds me, the passion and the longing in my heart for you reminds me that I'm not alone and that you've been good to me. That's why I love you so much. I know that. My heart reminds me that you are here. I've said to the Lord, and this is the key verse in this whole psalm, this is the key verse. He says, I've set the Lord always before me. Because it's at my right hand, I shall not be shaken. A man who is much afraid of what his life is really in danger. And this is the thing that turns him around completely. He says, I know that I am not alone in this situation. God is in control. I've set the Lord. I discern. I pay attention to God. The Hebrew word which I just quoted when I prayed for Nico and Marianne and David and Jean-Marie. I said, hear Israel, that word here, Shema, pay attention to God. David says this. He says, in this situation, I pay attention to God. I pay attention. I take note of God in this situation. I discern that God is in this. I'm going to try and discern what God is doing in this situation. And that will give me comfort. I am not afraid because I know that God has not left me. He hasn't walked away from me. I'm not dropped. I'm not left. I will pay attention to God in this situation. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be shaken. Therefore, I just want you to see the massive shift. This is the teaching. A man who starts perplexed, afraid, uncertain, scared for his life. At the end of the psalm, he says, my heart is glad. My whole being rejoices. My flesh feels secure in this situation. For you will not abandon my soul to death, Sheol, or let your Holy One see corruption. You make known to me the path of life. In your presence, there is fullness of joy. At your right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. A man who walks into a situation in dire strait and fear sets time aside to confess and remind himself that Yahweh, My covenant God, you are my Lord. I'm here to serve you. I'm not alone because I'm among all the excellent ones who have you as my delight. God, no, I will not run after the Guptas or any one of those people who have all the wealth and all the pleasures in the world. I will not run after all those things, God, because I set my heart to you. You hold my lot. My boundaries have fallen in pleasant places. I have a great inheritance, God. You counsel my heart. I'm never, ever afraid. I will discern you in the situation. I've set the Lord always before me. My heart will instruct me. God, I'm yours. At your right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. I know that even in the midst of this thing that I'm going to go through, I will experience the most gracious joy because you are with me. Therefore, my heart is glad. My whole being rejoices. My flesh dwells secure. You will not abandon my soul to death. You will not let your Holy One see corruption. You make known to me the path of life, and your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. This is the psalm that we ministered the morning that we prayed for Marita. Not intentionally, because we prayed for Marita, because before her big mastectomy. So Marita, I'm going to ask you to come and share a little bit of your journey. We will definitely record a little bit more. But you've really gone through dark times this year with some of your friends. And I'd just like everyone just to put your hands together and just welcome her with the courage to share.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.